So imagine with me that you are a sophomore in college. It's April, and you have not declared your major yet. You must declare your major by the end of May, or you may not attend school in the fall. What do you do? What kind of issue is that? How do you solve that issue, that I must declare a major in a month, or it's all over? Or imagine if you hate your job. Not just 10% of the time, right? Not just 20% of the time, which happens to all of us. What if you hate your job 85% of the time? What if you hate it 90% of the time? What do you do? How do you resolve that issue? What if you love your job 100% of the time? What if you just love and adore your job? You go in earlier and earlier and stay later and later. You hardly ever come home because you love your job so much. You sign up for extra trips. Then what do you do? That becomes a problem, right? At least for other people, if not for you. What do you do with that? What if your job is not, you don't hate it, you don't love it, but what if your job is pressing in on you in different ways? It's getting harder and harder, relationally at work and project-wise, and what if the vocational walls of your job or your vocation are just coming in? And you're like, I am getting squeezed. I'm going to break if I don't figure out how to resolve what's going on around me. What do you do in that situation? I'd like to suggest that all four of those are calling issues. That all four of those are following Jesus issues, and then as a subset of following Jesus, they're calling issues. How has Jesus called you vocationally? So I want to reflect on that a little bit, just a few minutes before the worship's come, and help share more of how they have been called by Jesus to follow him. Let me read our passage for us this morning. After saying this, he said to them, to Peter, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that's going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it's my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but, "If it's my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things. And we know that his testimony is true. Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Father, would you, even in the unfathomable glory of that last sentence, would you dwell in our midst in all of your glory and wisdom and power and strength? Would you open our eyes? Would you soften our hearts? Would you open our ears that we might hear your voice, that we might see you more clearly, that you might draw us nearer into relationship with you? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to just think very quickly through this passage about what is Jesus calling you to, our struggles with Jesus calling us, and how do you express Jesus' greatness? So note in verse 19, right? Jesus says to Peter, "Follow me." Right. So remember, if you remember from last week, if you're here, Jesus came and he personally helped Thomas with his doubts of faith, and then he came and he restored Peter from Peter's failings when he denied Jesus three times. But after that restoring, Jesus says to Peter, "Follow me." Right? Jesus calls all of us, each of us who have faith in him, to follow him. Right? There is, after Jesus' resurrection, there is a life of discipleship as we walk behind our risen Lord. He is going somewhere, and he calls each of us to follow him. He calls us to follow him spiritually, vocationally, relationally. There's no part of our life whatsoever that is not under, in some way or form or another, Jesus' calling to us to follow him. But notice also, and notice in verse 22, Jesus says, if it's my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And so Jesus personally, absolutely comes to each person and says, you follow me. Right? So Jesus has this absolute personal call to us individually to come and follow him. So declaring your major in college, or I don't know what to do, that's a Jesus calling issue, a following Jesus issue of saying, Jesus, what are you calling me to study? What is it that you direct my life to study right now? Your job is terrible. You hate it. You're like, Jesus, what is your solution to my job problem at the moment? I don't think for a long time you want me to be in a job that I utterly, absolutely hate. What is your path to the place you want me to be here? I utterly love my job, and it's taken over my entire life. I'm becoming addicted to my job, and my family, my spouse, my kids, everybody else is suffering. Jesus, what is your call to me in this situation? Because this can't be what you really want for me in my life. So lead me. Help me to follow you. Or my job is just pressing in on me. Jesus, help me to know what is your call in my life in this situation. Jesus can change our callings vocationally, but when we're in one, the first thing we should do is say, Lord, what does it look like for me to follow you in this situation? And so we're going to hear more. The Lord Jesus called John and Allison to follow him to India. Right? I don't think it was like just one morning, visions of the map was imprinted on his mind. That's all he could see. But there was a process. And yet, Jesus said, John, Allison, I want you to follow me to India and to serve me there and to follow my calling to you there. So what is Jesus calling you to? Could you put it in words right now? What is Jesus' call vocationally to you? If that's very, very difficult, I would encourage you to spend some time thinking about that this week. And if you need help to kind of get your mind around that, you might review in Scripture the places where God calls people. Exodus chapter 2 to 4, I think, with God calling Moses. And there's a lot of interaction there. Moses is like, I can't do it. And there's an extended interaction. I think it's 3 and 4 is God's calling Moses. God calling Isaiah in chapter 6. Isaiah has this brilliant, incredible, powerful interaction where God calls him. Think about the life of Peter. Right? Of Peter being impetuous and like, I'll follow you anywhere. And the next minute, I don't even know him. And then Jesus coming and being like, Peter, do you love me? Tend my sheep. Right? So that whole interaction is And Paul, there's lots of interesting things in Paul. So there's plenty of data in Scripture to help guide your understanding, but to have a sense of calling is very, very important, and to have a sense of Jesus calling is very, very important. But we also struggle with Jesus calling. Do you see what Peter does here? Right, verse 20, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had leaned against him during the supper and said, who is it going to betray you? And Peter saw him and said, Lord, what about this guy? Right? So you can kind of say, we're tempted. Jesus says, Ross, I want you to do this. And I can be tempted to say, yeah, but what about that guy? He gets to do that. Right? His calling seems more interesting than mine. Why do I have to do this? Right? Or he does his calling that way, so I think I can do mine this way. Right? So we use comparison as a way to kind of to push Jesus off a little bit, to drive a wedge and to kind of stop his absolute call to us somewhat. And that's what Peter is doing here. And what's Jesus' response to that? If I have different plans for him, plans that are so incredible that you couldn't even believe it, like he's staying until I come back again, What is that to you? I said this to you. You follow me. So Jesus shuts down that comparison completely and says, he reaffirms his absolute call to Peter. No, Peter, you. He changed it. Initially, it's follow me. And the second time, it's you, emphatic. You follow me. So we struggle with pushing Jesus off a little bit, because it's, if Jesus could call us to do anything, that's kind of scary. But since we've been saved by his free grace completely, apart from what we've done, in one sense he can call us to do anything. But we have to have a picture of how good and great he is and kind he is, that his calling is good to us. Which kind of, though, shades into this last point. How do you express Jesus' greatness? In one sense, if we're worried that Jesus is not good, that he might call us to something that's not good for us, that will be unenjoyable, or we might have to go do something that's dirty and yucky and dusty or something, then we might be like, we're pushing Jesus off, right? We're not trusting him. We don't necessarily want to follow him. We're going to look for ways to undercut his call to us. And that's why I think it's helpful to see verse 25, how John ends this gospel. Now, there's many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. That's really an amazing statement. Does he mean it literally true? Probably not exactly literally true, but he means what is literal there, that the incredibleness of what's literal there, he means that reality is true. I'm just trying to express Jesus' greatness in a sense that I'm trying to find some analogy to communicate at the end of the very last sentence of my gospel how glorious and majestic and amazing Jesus is. And this is what John grabs to say that. And I think that helps us, plays back into our calling, because it says, if Jesus is this great, if I had this vision of how glorious and awesome, awesome in kindness, awesome in power, awesome in majesty Jesus is, then following him will be fun. There should be a fun aspect to that. There should be a joyful aspect of, there should be a faith aspect of, yes, this seems really hard, Jesus, but I do trust you. I will follow you. I wonder if this week you could come up with your own statement of Jesus' greatness that's kind of parallel to John's. How would you put in more concrete words the somewhat abstract greatness of Jesus? John does an amazing job here. Could you spend some time this week trying to put Jesus' glory into words like John has done here? Because I think as we grasp hold of Jesus' greatness more and more, it will help us as we follow him, vocationally, spiritually, relationally, in every way. Father, thank you that you are so involved in our lives, that your relationship that you desire with us is so deep that you even call us to follow you, that your wisdom is so great and your personal care for us so great that you want to direct us vocationally and spiritually and relationally. Would you help us to hear those words? Would you help us to see your greatness? Would you help us, Lord, not to compare, but to hear your words to us? Would you help us to follow? We ask, Holy Spirit, that you might apply that to our hearts, that you might help us this week to understand what that looks like for us, even as we have the joy now to hear of how you've done that in John and Allison's life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.